Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined today by Nick Sakevich, Commissioner of the NLL, as there is big news around the league. Commissioner, what is next for the National Lacrosse League?
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me on. It's been a strange year. It'll be quite a while before we return to play this December. It's just about a month away. But we've announced a long-term agreement with ESPN and ESPN Plus for the broadcast of the NLL's games throughout the United States. And that's really exciting news because it's a wide ranging agreement that includes both linear distribution and digital distribution on ESPN Plus. So there's going to be a lot of lacrosse on television this year between marrying up to the TSN deal we announced up in Canada about a month or so ago with this new ESPN, ESPN Plus deal. It's going to be an unprecedented amount of NLL television across North America here through the winter and the spring. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well, congratulations. It is really exciting, and I'm sure that that's very exciting for American lacrosse fans who either are already ardent NLL fans or are looking to dive in this winter and spring. You mentioned it's a multi-year deal, a long-term deal. How long is it exactly?
It's a three-year deal, similar to what we had in terms of term with TSN, and it's lined up to be both linear and digital distribution. So we'll have 10, a minimum of 10, maybe more, linear games on the ESPN channels and all 139 games on their digital platform. And similarly to TSN, where we've got about 20 games of the week up there on their linear platforms and all the rest of the games on digital. So really wide-ranging, unprecedented distribution for the league in its history, 35-year history. This is our 35th season of play. And we're pretty excited about that level of distribution because it'll be much broader and much deeper than the last deal we had with Turner Sports and BR Live.
So just to be clear, if you as a American lacrosse fan already have ESPN Plus, you're going to be able to watch any and every NLL game that you want to?
Correct.
Wow.
That's correct. Yep.
Pretty exciting. So one of the questions that, you know, sports media folks always wonder about, and certainly in this media environment and landscape, there's a lot of attention paid to it. Is this a deal that includes a fee coming back to the NLL from ESPN?
Yes, it's a rights deal. It's a next level deal from the deal we had with Turner Sports, and it's also a revenue share deal on the inventory. So we'll be splitting the inventory, and we'll be co-selling it and co-marketing it to the commercial community. So it's a step up for us, and we're really grateful and thankful to ESPN and Burke Magnus, their head of programming and content, as well as Dan Margulies, who I negotiated the deal with. Fantastic cooperation amongst all the parties. So we're pretty excited about that. Won't go into the rights fee. That's a private term and consideration between our companies. But yes, it's a rights fee based deal.
Well, congratulations. It's a big deal for the sport, no doubt. And obviously the ability for fans to access all that content is going to be next level in terms of folks developing a familiarity with your product and understanding of the game, depending on their level of fluency, we'll call it, with the National Lacrosse League product. How did this deal come to fruition? You mentioned you had an incumbent with Turner and BR Live, and obviously with their foray into hockey, there seems to be some momentum within Turner in terms of developing their sport platform. What was it about this opportunity with ESPN that was more appealing and brought it to the finish line?
Well, we were in our last year of our deal with Turner, and we had discussions with them about renewing. And as soon as those discussions expired, we knew that we weren't going to stay on Turner Sports and BR. Those guys are fantastic for us over the 3 years. And as you know, one of those 3 years we didn't televise because we had COVID interrupted the season. So right after that, we went into an RFP process, always knowing that, you know, ESPN is the worldwide leader in professional sports programming. And ESPN Plus has just become such a out front leader in the digital streaming space. We kind of always knew that we really, really belonged with ESPN. But we did an RFP anyway, and we got some responses back. But we really hunkered down right around June, July timeframe with ESPN to work out a deal. You know, the company's very invested in lacrosse. They own the rights to the world games in this next round. They own the NCAA rights. They have already a heavy commitment and investment in lacrosse. And we just felt like it was a natural fit for us to be on ESPN. And that's when we, you know, right after we realized we weren't going to renew with Turner, we really locked down and made a concerted effort to get to a deal with ESPN.
Well, and this is a little bit of a reunion with where, if not the formative years, then certainly some of the halcyon days, we'll call it, of the MILL, formerly, you know, what ended up becoming the NLL, was a part of the birth of ESPN too. Is there some nostalgic mm-hmm. effect that you're calling to mind here?
I don't think so, because none of us, Berg, Dan, myself, others were involved in the negotiations and discussions. None of us were around back then, but I do know of that history, and I do know that the league launched around, or when ESPN2 launched, the league had a deal. I wasn't around, obviously, back then, but it's great. It's great for the league to be back on ESPN after so many years of not being there. And I don't think any of us remember any nostalgia, but we do know the history, and probably should have never left ESPN back then, but I don't know why that happened.
So you often call on your experience from MLS in terms of charting the growth and trajectory of the NLL. What was it like for MLS when their broadcast platform, inventory, everything started to get a little bit more widespread, and the role that ESPN played in that? And I'm asking primarily because if NLL fans are excited by this news, is it possible that they might not even be excited enough based on how you understand how transformative something like this can be?
Well, I mean, in the history and the DNA of Major League Soccer, ESPN will go down as instrumental in the growth of that league, and their leader at the time, John Skipper, who Burt Magnus worked with and for over at ESPN. John's a longtime colleague and friend of mine. Really, John made Major League Soccer what it is today on those networks. And, you know, anyone associated with that league knows how valuable ESPN has been to the building of that sport. And again, for me, it's deja vu all over again with ESPN. ESPN has the capability, the distribution, the power, not just in the U.S., but globally, to be able to grow a sport and grow a league. And that's what it did in soccer over a couple of decades. And I believe very seriously that they have the power to do that and the ability to do that for the National Lacrosse League. And, you know, make no mistake, that weighs heavily into our decision making to partner with ESPN. And, you know, this is a 3-year deal, but our job now really begins. The hard work now starts, and we have to prove ourselves as a league, and our teams have to really wrap their arms around this deal and prove to ESPN that we are going to be a great partner. We're going to deliver great content with exciting environments and arenas, and do our part to grow the viewership, and that will turn into a long-term relationship with ESPN.
You brought up the teams, and that means it's a good opportunity to ask about what a national deal means for your teams that have regional partners with their local RSN.
Well, it's really good news because the way we negotiated the rights, ESPN has U.S. rights to all the National Lacrosse League games on ESPN Plus and the 10 linear windows. But our teams in that deal retain the right to be able to do local RSN and local cable or over-the-air deals. They also have the rights to be able to do their own, if they don't have a relationship with an RSN or over-the-air, they have the ability to do their own private labeled, branded, for example, Calgary Roughnecks direct-to-consumer offering, if you will, which is very valuable for those teams that don't have a local relationship to be able to distribute their product to, locally. But if they do have a cable or over-the-air partnership, they also have the rights to be able to do a TV everywhere with that service provider, with that broadcast provider, because all of the local RSNs and over-the-air networks now have their own streaming services, so that it doesn't encumber our local teams from doing something local, yet satisfies the ESPN obligations that we have to be able to deliver 139 games to them and their ability to stream them on ESPN Plus. And now on the 10 linear games, those will be exclusively ESPN's. Those games will not be able to be streamed locally streamed or broadcast locally on an RSN or over-the-air partner. So the 10 are completely exclusive to ESPN, but the remaining games will be available for the local teams to monetize and broadcast in their local markets.
What does this mean from a broadcast production standard and talent standpoint?
We have to up our game in terms of production. I don't think the fans will necessarily see a noticeable difference in the production quality. If anything, they'll see an uptick in some arenas from the production quality we delivered previously on BR Live. You will see the fans will see a lot more accessibility. I mean, obviously ESPN Plus has, I think they're over near 15 million subscribers now. So it's the biggest streaming platform in the world. Fans will have more access to that platform than the BR Live platform per se. But the production quality, I think they'll see, at least on the same level, if not increased. From a talent standpoint, we're producing all the games for ESPN. TSN's a little bit different. TSN's producing all of those games up in Canada, but in this deal with ESPN, the league is producing and we are hiring national talent to be consistent, to provide a consistent voice and a consistent look across all 139 games. And Joel Feld, our executive producer, is in charge of building that production.
In terms of what this means for your teams and players, obviously you've talked about it from the standpoint of local markets, but one of the things that is so valuable is the opportunity to build brands and to build narrative. And, maybe this bleeds a little bit into some of the questions that I've already asked, but just from the standpoint of like week-to-week continuity and given exciting hallmarks or tentpole events of the season, being able to promote one of your games as the ESPN game this weekend or whatever the case may be, what do you anticipate seeing from the teams and players as you call it, carrying their own weight relative to being a good partner to ESPN?
Well, it's all about butts and seats, and it's all about ticket sales. And this, these new broadcast deals, both TSN and ESPN, provide an opportunity for our teams to get greater exposure in their local markets, to get greater relevance. They should be thinking about telling their stories more broadly in their local markets. I'm hopeful that these two deals will motivate some of the teams that haven't historically had local RSN or local distribution deals to do so. And it's really about tickets. It's really about generating more relevance. And when you generate more relevance in a local market as a professional club, you therefore generate more revenue in ticket sales, in sponsorship, in ancillary revenues, in overall relevance in the marketplace. Local teams are all properties of their local marketplaces. And the more relevant you are with the people that live in that community and in that marketplace, the better you can drive your business and awareness and really, really ticket sales. So this is good news for the teams because they'll have a much broader opportunity to get local exposure through the ESPN or TSN platform in the case of our five Canadian teams. But they can't just sit around and let that distribution do all the work for them. They should be creating their own content locally. Many of our teams have pretty significant local RSN deals, which this ESPN deal will just enhance and complement. And for those teams that don't have them, really ought to be thinking about local distribution television deals in order to monetize them commercially and sell more tickets. Bottom line, butts and seats is what fuels. I've always said that year-on-year attendance growth in our league is the rocket fuel that the NLL needs to continue to grow and attract new markets and attract new investors.
And that's an appropriate segue into opening up the borders of this conversation beyond just the broadcast side of things, but the league looks a lot different from what it looked like in March 2020, the last time you played. As you mentioned at the top, you're getting closer and closer to December 3rd and getting this season kicked off. When you think about the 35th campaign, I mean, there's so many different places that you could go to answer this question, but just broadly, what comes to mind?
Our 14th team, the Panther City Lacrosse Club, down in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm super excited to welcome that 14th team to the league. We'll also be welcoming our 15th team next season, but all eyes are on Fort Worth this year. Our 15th team, of course, being Las Vegas. So we're excited about that. It's going to be more growth, more a new look, with an incredible arena down there in Dickies Arena. It probably is the most beautiful arena I've ever walked into or seen. It just is spectacular. It sets up so well for our game. It's about 13,000 seat capacity for lacrosse. And Panther City Lacrosse Club will be the anchor tenant in that building, next to the rodeo, which comes there every year. But as a sports team, they're going to be the main player in that arena, and that's really exciting. So that's going to be a seminal moment. I'll be down there for their game, and I think it's December 10th for their inaugural game, and really looking forward to the team that Bob Hamley is building. And they're signing some really exciting players, and Greg Bibb has put together an incredible business operation around Panther City, and we're really excited to welcome them. Between that, the ESPN and the TSN launch on that December 3rd weekend is going to be super exciting. And then all the amazing players that got picked up in the last two drafts and in the expansion draft that we haven't seen yet. Those, players like Jeff Teed and others that have been drafted into the league, we finally get to see them. And I think that's going to be a very exciting opportunity to see some new fresh blood come into the league. So I could probably talk on and on about new partners that we're signing and new opportunities that are going to evolve from it. Fanatics, we finally launched with Fanatics. It seems like 10 years ago we announced that deal, but it was just about this time last year that we announced it. But now we're going to be able to start actually selling merchandise through Fanatics, through our NLL shop.com in the US and our .ca store in Canada, and we'll start to be able to really execute on that Fanatics deal. So lots of good stuff, lots of good stuff to look forward to. Most importantly, can't wait to get back to watching lacrosse after all these months without it.
And you're teeing me up perfectly, because one of the questions that I have for you is, with so much player movement by virtue of essentially two off seasons in addition to an expansion draft, how do you set expectations for who's going to be good? Like, I mean, there's, I guess, you know, at some point in the future, we'll talk about sports betting. And if you were trying to set futures odds for the 2022 NLL champion, like, I don't even know where you'd begin.
I don't know where you would either. It makes a compelling reason to watch, doesn't it, Barry? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a great point you make, you know, that because there's been two off seasons, so to speak, and two player drafts and an expansion draft and tons of player movement across what's 14 teams now, it makes it really tough to handicap who's going to be, you know, who's going to be favored, who's, you know, got in a rebuilding year. So lots of good reasons to turn on ESPN or TSN and watch us.
So one thing that has also changed that you didn't bring up, relocation of the Black Wolves to Albany. They are now the Albany Fire Wolves and a new ownership group there. What are your thoughts on, you know, another team in New York, in the state of New York, and now being in the Capital Region?
So super excited about that situation on a number of fronts. First and foremost, you know, while being at Mohegan Sun was great and they were awesome hosts of the team there, it was in a bit of a remote location and a big league, a league that we aspire to be someday, 30 teams. We really need to be in our own, you know, central marketplace where, you know, there's an easy way to get there. And there's a real community in Uncasville and at Mohegan Sun. There wasn't really a community to wrap around. It was kind of in a remote area, and getting the team into Times Union Center, the type of lease deal that we were able to craft with the new ownership group and the Times Union Center and ASM Global that manages the building for the city there, probably one of the best in our league. And they really embraced the club's relocation to that marketplace. They've done spectacularly well. They've been leading either one or two in the league in season ticket sales since teams went back on sale. We're expecting, you know, packed houses there and a real great environment. George Manius, the president of the club that was hired by the new ownership group, is, you know, kind of a prototype of the type of president and chief business officer we need at each team. And he's done a really good job in a short time frame to get the team relocated and becoming part of the fabric of that community. So really important. And it already has. You can just see it and smell it. So we're excited on a number of fronts. Probably the most excited about the ownership group. Oliver Marty has put together what we've been calling like the all-star lacrosse ownership group, was able to find a way to marry up with part of the old ownership group, which is Mike French and Brad Brewster and Ted Goldthorpe. And Oliver's brought them into what I would consider what's a good way to describe them. They are the epitome of the rock star lacrosse investment group. Saul Kuman and Brett Jefferson and Oliver and a bunch of others that are in there. Some of them are also investors in the PLL, as is Oliver. And it's just a fantastic ownership group. Super excited about their knowledge of the game. Oliver was actually a pretty big time lacrosse player in his own right and played in the NLL, as did Mike French. So we're just really excited about what that ownership group brings, their commitment to Albany, their resources, their commitment to doing things the right way and building that franchise correctly. And it was a great result for us in this offseason.
A lot going on. How are you going to spend the next month as training camp gets underway?
Yeah, some of our teams start training camps this week, so we're excited about that. And there'll be lots of news in the next, I guess what we're almost about 40, 45 days away or less, maybe 30 days away. I'm losing track of the time. It's moving so fast.
You need a countdown clock on your wall.
Yeah. Probably about that time.
Well, Nick, we really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Congratulations again on the ESPN deal. I know that I speak for a lot of lacrosse fans when I say that you made my life a lot easier in terms of tracking down these games, and look forward to continuing to follow the development and, you know, the development of the league as you lead up to the start of the season, as well as, you know, the development of this deal as games start getting broadcast on linear TV. It's heading back to those halcyon days of the NLL, right?
Well, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure sharing the inside scoop on what's going on at the NLL. And keep your eye for Team 16. We're coming around the corner with that team and lots more positive things coming in the months ahead.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.